Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis. Say that dedication, your frustration.
Yeah, welcome everybody to the Fly Racing Racer X Review Pod, Denver Supercross. We had a championship clinched. We had some drama in the 450s, and we'll get into that and more. Weej got an award. There was an LCQ race. There's lots to get into with this race, for sure, without a doubt. Thank you to the folks at Fly Racing, Cooper Webb, of course, Fly Racing, Dean Wilson, RJ Hampshire, Chance Hymus, you know the drill. The light kinetic mesh light is out, and love it. It is fantastic. Fits really good. Very good vented. Fits well. Evo stuff is their top of the line gear that you'll see out there in a lot of supercrosses, and it's got the BOA system on it. They've got three lines of gear that have the BOA system on it. Formula helmets, amazing. Flyracing.com for more information. Kids gear, vet gear, off-road gear, all sorts of stuff. And the code PULPMX when you check out to save. Thank you to the folks at Flyracing.com for coming on board. And Renthal as well, Red Bull KTM, Factory Honda, Factory KTM, Kawasaki, Renthal, bars, grips, sprockets, chains, all of it, Renthal.com. Check it out. Really informative website as well. So whether you want the 7/8 bar, you want the twin wall bar, Fat Bar 36, the lock-on grips been doing really well. I've got a set on my bike. I hate lock-on grips. Parabinos made me put them on. And then I thought I would take them off right away. And partly because I'm lazy, I haven't taken them off. But also partly because they're really good. So I like the lock-on grips from Renthal. Check it out. All right, motorsport.com, Onyx Maps, and Maxxis Tires we'll talk about later on. But first, let's get into Denver Supercross. It's Jason Wygant. What's up, Weej?
I don't think that intro was appropriate, Steve. I think there's maybe something you would like to say before my name now that's beneficial with the trophy and all. You want to acknowledge that? Or?
Well, your trophy, sir, I got a good look at it because you left it in the press box for – all of us to see.
Yes, right next to the snacks, so I knew you could not miss it. It was there right all weekend. Yes.
And I got a good look at it, and it says 2024 Journalist of the Year, and sir, we are in 2025.
Yeah, there's a good long season. You have half a season left to maybe earn one yourself. This is like the Academy Awards. The beginning of the year, they announced awards from last year. So in typical AMA, they called me before Daytona to tell me I won the award, but the trophy was not ready yet. Trophy wasn't ready. So it's the Media Award of Excellence. Steve, just keep dreaming, buddy. Just keep on grinding.
I'm going to use the words of a friend of mine that told me about this. The AMA has made many, many bad calls over the years. That is indisputable.
Never said that. No.
That's indisputable. Okay.
Literally, we have a phrase, hashtag never change, which means don't change AMA, you're perfect. That's what that means.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's always what I'm kind of like you always being there for Marty.
Yep.
I have always supported the AMA's decisions, top to bottom.
From Fly
Except
Racing.
For about 3 hours later, when for some reason they had Deegan in the AMA rig, which doesn't make any sense to me at all. But up until that moment.
we'll talk about that a little bit. Also here from Fly Racing, flyracing.com, it's Jason Thomas. What's up, JT?
Not too much. I think the problem where Steve doesn't win is the excellence term. Like that's really where it goes awry.
Yeah,
like,
he got DQ'd.
Yeah, media member, sure, no problem. Media, cool. Here, have an award for being in the media, but the excellence part, it's probably going to be a full stop there.
Did the AMA have any examples, Weej, of any sort of journalism you've done, articles you've done, things you've stories you've broken, in any sort of examples of your work that sort of gave them this idea to give you the award?
You can watch the full speech presentation on the Friday Weed Show. Jeff Canfield, the AMA, he mentioned SMX, GNCC, and Loretta's. So some names and some letters. So what more do we need to know?
I guess. Good point. You're right. No comeback to that. He just named three series that are in America. Yeah. Yep.
On it.
Well, congratulations.
Look, Steve's bitter. I understand, man. It's tough. Look, if we've seen Sexton and Webb say some things, do some things lately, I understand. This is how competition works, man. I understand. I still have respect for you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Well, you know what? Maybe one day I'll keep my head down. I'll mind my P's and Q's, and maybe one day I will get that trophy.
The best part was I delivered the trophy. Go ahead, JT.
I was just saying, I would love if you kept your head down and mind your P's and Q's. I would do a lot for that to happen.
The best part was I delivered the trophy to put it in the press box for you to see it on Friday afternoon while your race was going on. And Dan Beaver, the NBC reporter, was in there. And I was like, you see this trophy, Dan? Steve Mathis will never get this because what has he ever done? What has he ever done while the race is going on right out the window? It's great.
That is good. Yeah, I like that. Well, listen, I'll try my best. Let me just tell you, though, if there's a Lewis Phillips on that trophy before I leave the sport, it's not going to be pretty. So,
oh, that's a bigger line in the sand. That's a bigger line.
Yeah, that's a bigger line in the sand.
I know. He broke a huge story this year, Steve. Huge. Broke it.
Well, you mean after the race with Chase?
No. He dug and got information earlier in the year on a huge story.
Oh, when his friend texted him. Oh, when his friend texted him. Okay, yeah. Yeah, great work on that. We don't have 20 minutes for me to get into that. But can we talk about later about what some of the things Sexton told us? Or do we got to wait on that?
I don't think he wanted us to. No, it was not about racing next year.
I don't think he wanted
those things to be on the record.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
But it did involve the AMA, ironically.
It did. And he did think I was going to tweet it. And I said, no, I'm not going to tweet that. But here I am bringing it up now. All right. Okay. Speaking of Sexton, Denver, he was a little pissed at Cooper Webb for cross-jumping him and, you know, hit him a little bit into one turn. But, I mean, Coop was off kind of all day from where he's been. And Sexton has been really good. And, yeah, he took the win. It was rather easily for him. I didn't know about the cross jump. So, Weej, when I saw him hit Webb, I'm like, oh, okay, goddamn. Like, I didn't think Chase is going to play that game, the bunching or takeouts or anything. So I was a little surprised at that. But then afterwards, you know, talking to Chase and everything else, and I guess Webb said, yeah, I cross jumped him. So I get that part. But that was a little, interesting.
When I walked into the press conference, they were actually discussing that, and Webb said, I would never cross-jump. He used the term BS, the full use of the word, what the BS stands for, as in, I hate when people do that to me, cross-jumping's BS. But I did feel like there was a move there at the beginning of, like, I'm not going to let you pass me in the first rhythm section. Didn't it seem like that a little bit? I don't know if it was dirty, but to me it was like, I'm guarding, like I'm not letting you through. Fair to say.
He also cased that tabletop too. So it wasn't like it was like perfect execution and he just swerves left over the takeoff. Like it was pretty squirrely on Webb's part there too. Like he wasn't clean at all through that rhythm section. So I have a hard time believing that Cooper Webb, in the essence of I'm going to swerve left and cross jump Chase Sexton, I have a hard time believing that was like full intent.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either. I did think he was moving over to prevent him from passing him, but he was very adamant, actually, Steve, in the press conference. That was not an on-purpose, dirty cross jump because he hates it.
Yeah, you're right. I misspoke. He admitted that he got sideways off the jump, not sort of cross-jumping Chase, but he got sideways from the rhythm. Right. So Chase was like, okay, so I'm going to hit him a little bit and take off. But now Chase winning, that's not the big story. That's kind of was expected, all that. But, dude, look, Coop's in second. Here's J. Coop. Here's Malcolm. They're coming. I was doing the points between, okay, where are we at if Coop gets fourth? Because that could be a real possibility, JT. That was getting tense near the end.
I don't think that was a real possibility. I do not believe there was a world where Justin Cooper was going to pass Cooper Webb. I don't believe that world exists on this planet. They're too tight. They're too good of friends. Cooper Webb has done too much for Justin Cooper in his career on that team. I don't think that was going to happen. So yeah. Okay. Mathematically, if Cooper Webb crashes, Justin Cooper doesn't have a choice. He's going past him. But was Justin Cooper going to make an intentional move on Cooper Webb? Hard no.
Weege?
Yeah, I agree with that. Although they did joke in the press conference, somebody asked Jay Coop, if it was for the win, would you pass Webb? And Webb said, I sure hope you would. And
he's like, that's different, though. That's different because Chase is not in front of them.
Right.
In that context.
Yeah. But essentially to their point, they said, if it was for the win, I would pass him. Anything beyond that?
Yeah.
Yeah, not passing him. But what made it ultra interesting was Malcolm was there trying to take a podium, and you know that Jay Coop doesn't want to give that up. So it was like the perfect scenario to still have like a tinge of interestingness to it, because he had to defend and also not pass at the same time.
He did such a great job of managing that. I don't know that you could have executed it any better if you were Justin Cooper. Like, to get around Malcolm, protect your position from Malcolm, but also not put Cooper Webb in a precarious spot, because Webb was struggling. Like, he was sick, and he obviously wasn't riding his best at the end. It was a master class of managing that by Justin Cooper at the end, of doing exactly what he needed to get done, but not do too much and steal points away from Cooper Webb, because as I said, that was not going to happen either way.
Actually caused Justin Cooper to sort of blitz the whoops a couple of times. Obviously, Malcolm was crushing it, right? Jay Coop was like jumping and doing okay. It was a little slower, not much. But then at one point, a couple times, and I think two times in three laps, Jay Coop like blitzed and then jumped and blitzed again out. Like, it was really pushing. It was pushing out of his comfort zone. It was interesting to see the different strategy there between those two. And yeah, I mean, Malcolm. Malcolm didn't care about no championship, right? He was going for it. So that would have been interesting to see that as well. Really good battle, though. Really, like, there was a point where I'm like, oh, Coop, you know, Coop's got this, like, whatever. Like, I don't know, maybe five laps to go, six laps to go, like a nice, healthy gap. And then I'm sort of watching the Dino Savacci thing, kind of watching that. And then I look back and I'm like, holy shit, they are right there. Cooper Webb has a problem.
Well, did anyone know that Coop, JT, you saw him up close after the race. He was hurting. Did anyone know he was sick like this at first?
I was told that he was under the weather during the week on Friday night. But then, and Rich Simmons even said as much in the insider interview that, yeah, I knew he was sick this week, but I didn't know it was bad today. So I didn't even really bring it up on Saturday because I thought it was a during the week thing that wouldn't carry into the weekend. But clearly it had lingering effects, because he did not look well after the main event.
It was funny because he was on the show Monday, Pulp Show Monday, and his voice sounded different. And we all said that maybe during commercial break. I don't think we said on the show, either after the show or commercial break. We're like, dude, he sounds kind of stuffed up. He definitely sounds a little different. Weege, I think you heard it. Did you notice? He didn't sound the normal Coop on Monday.
Yeah, I guess that would be true. So maybe what we need to do is this week we should have a show with Coop as a guest all 5 days to keep perfect tabs. That's what we need to do.
Yeah,
what,
or maybe also, the, maybe the show made him scenario, sick. Yeah, maybe the show made him
the,
sick.
The show, yes, exactly.
You're you just cost sick him. Of you.
Yeah, yeah.
Cost him potentially $1 million. What also is a factor that I had not calculated, with Roczen going out, it now becomes a battle for third in points, and it's between Malcolm and Jay Coop. So, as you said, Steve, Malcolm does not care. There's no alliance with Webb at all. There's no alliance with Sexton. I mean, I guess it's a Husky KTM thing. I'm not saying he's going to take Webb out to help Sexton, but he really doesn't have anything to do but, I need to get podiums for myself, and I need to beat Jay Coop. JT, safe to say there might be a bonus for one of those guys if they get third in the series?
Yeah, I would think so. But also, just third in the race is probably, you know, combined between extra purse money and sponsor stuff, it's probably 20K, you know, across the board.
Like, yeah.
There's a lot of incentive for Malcolm Stewart to make a move there, and Justin Cooper as well, both of them. So when I say that Justin Cooper executed that, is you can't do it any better than he did it, because he didn't even put a wheel in on Webb. Like, he was so careful to not force anything on Webb, but he also didn't put himself in a bad spot with Malcolm. I don't know, if you had to do that 10 times in a row, maybe you get it right 2 times out of 10, and he got it right in the one time it mattered. It was wildly impressive. I literally told the television truck while we were waiting for the podium, I'm like, I cannot express strongly enough how well Justin Cooper handled that situation, because it could have gone wrong in a million different ways so easily.
Speaking of that third place battle, I was talking to some people close to Kenny, and he hurt his ankle doing outdoors, which they were like, wait, what? You're riding outdoors? Like, okay. But anyways, they figure that he's going to lose third in points, right? And they were like, that's a couple hundred grand probably in bonuses for Kenny. So, yeah, he's not too stoked on that.
No, I heard he didn't have bonuses this
year. Yeah, he doesn't have bonuses.
Oh, I heard he does.
Who said that? Team guys on his team?
Yeah.
Oh. I'd heard he took a salary that was based on, you know, lower bonuses, but a better, you know, in a season like he had, he probably lost money because he's done well. Right. But it could have worked the other direction. I think we talked about this a few weeks ago. That's what I heard. Maybe I'm wrong.
Actually, I think I could probably text Kenny and just ask him. Maybe we'll try to get to the bottom of that. But
yeah.
They were saying that. So, yeah, Justin Cooper is 15, 14 back at Kenny?
I thought it was 10. Back?
10? Okay, 10. Yeah. It's easily doable. Whatever it was, when I looked at the end of the night, I was like, oh, yeah, he's probably got it right at this point. So, talking to Chase after the race, and, you know, I asked him, I didn't talk to you last week, but, like, why did you stop skimming the whoops? And dude, he did not want to hear that. He was not stoked on that.
I saw your tweet, or I saw your something. Well, what did he actually say?
He said, yeah, everyone's saying that, and you guys don't ride. And I'm like, well, I ride, sir. And then he didn't want to hear that. He said, Adam keeps saying that. Adam knows better.
And well, I said it too, and I did. I've raced.
Well, you should know better too.
250 races. Like,
well, you should know better too.
Well, like, okay, sure, but like, can you tell me why? Like, is it just you know? Like, okay, well, give me one reason, because I know how good you are.
He said it was getting sketchy, and he didn't want to crash, and it was getting sketchy. Okay, well, then
should just say that. Then don't say he was using too much energy. Say, I thought I was going to make a big mistake and crash if I kept trying. Like, that's where the confusion comes in. Wow. When you say it's using too much energy, we're all like, dude, you're like crazy fit, like gnarly, one of the fittest guys I can think of in the history of the sport. Using too much energy doesn't check out with me. Telling me you think you're going to crash, cool. Well, I understand that thought.
Maybe he's like, hey, I'm using too much energy. I'm going to get tired. Then I will crash. I don't. It's like a chicken or the egg thing, but I know what you're saying. But yeah, he was not having it. And then he started telling me that the segment times were faster. And I was like, wait, what? He said, Coop, I didn't get that part. And I got to play it back and go listen to it. Because I'm like, I looked at it this week, or I put it on Twitter this week. Like, when Chase was skimming, he was better than Webb 8 out of the first 10 laps. And then when Chase was jumping, Webb was better 10 out of 12 laps or something. Like,
mistakes, though. Like, and you don't factor in, like, sure, when Chase jumped perfectly, fine, cool. I know he was really good in the rest of the segment, but the mistakes jumping are what made the difference. Like, you can't go off the track. You can't screw it up 3 out of 6 times. You know, like, that's where it really cost him. When you did it right, was it slow or not? That's not in question.
He wasn't having it. He didn't want to hear that question, and I'm not going to ask that question anymore.
Okay, this is literally our job, is to analyze this stuff.
Well, and he did it in a good way. I mean, it's Chase. It wasn't like,
nobody's disrespectful here. Let's say for the first part, when you get criticism like this of why did you stop blitzing, it is out of respect for your skill and what we know you're capable of, and also what we've watched you do the first few laps. That's why we say that. It's not like for no other reason. So you shouldn't take offense to it. You should come back to it with reason of like, well, this is exactly why I stopped, because we're all looking at it going, you are capable of continuing to blitz. We've seen you do it. That's where we ask the question.
Well, Adam's going to get a text, I think. So
I would love if he texted me about it, because I would love to learn from him what his thought process was like, you know, like.
Right.
I'm not going to, but I would love that conversation.
Also, Weege, Chase, big fan of Kiefer. Big fan of Kiefer and his setup. Yeah, it was setup a nice talk.
Nice bro down session that you can also watch on the post Weege show with all the media guys. I only came there to clink trophies, race winning trophy, AMA Media Excellence trophy with Chase. It just so happened that all the other media members happened to be there to see it in person, which couldn't have been scripted better. But yeah. He really wants to tell Kiefer all the secrets inside his bike and see what Kiefer thinks about that, which is mind-boggling.
And JT, this idiot comes over with his trophy. Chase is standing there. He's like, hey, Chase, where's your trophy? Where's your trophy? Chase is like, huh? Come on, go get your trophy. So Chase goes back in the truck, gets his trophy, and we just like, all right, man. All right, man, we got to hit trophies now. We're champion. I'm just like, you're such an idiot.
I'm 100% good with all that. Like the only thing that Weege ever does that bugs me is when I'm getting a ride with him, he won't stop talking to people. Like, I don't think there's anything else in his whole life that he does that annoys me. So I'm totally good with this too.
When we were chatting with Chase with all the other media members, JT was probably already asleep.
Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, 100%.
No way. I went to bed at 11:30. There's no way it was later than that.
Okay. So here's an idea I had. This is another one of my brilliant ideas. So you guys know how, like, in Allegiant Stadium here and then in, like, Glendale Stadium, the football field stays as grass and they roll it out and roll it back into the stadium? You guys are aware?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're aware.
So the whoops this weekend were really good. Good dirt. Jumping was a little slower, but blitzing was good.
Dude, they were not good. Did you go on the – you didn't go on the track after
obviously
the race.
They wear down at the end of the night. Brutal. But they stayed relatively pretty good. Guys were blitzing. As long as you can stay blitzing is really a good thing, and lots of guys were. So let's take those whoops, cut them out of Denver, put them in a trailer – and carry them around and roll them into every track. So we'll have like red dirt back east, but we'll have just Denver hardback whoops. And then they can rebuild them, obviously. And we just roll them out.
No.
Brilliant.
You say that without walking down on the track after the race.
Well, JT, I understand. I get it. They just held up nicely. They held up nicely. Guys were blitzing. Guys were jumping. It was a mix of everything. They weren't really big, but they were big enough to, you know, make a difference. And
Steve, yeah. I wish you could roll around that corner with your helmet on and then repeat that statement through your head. Roll these whoops out 17 rounds in a row. Because they
– Well, you're going to fix them. You're not going to roll the same pat. You're going to fix them every week. They're going to be like they were at the beginning of the night show.
But in the main event, like in the post show when I was down there reporting from them, they were jacked.
Of course. Yeah. But they still held up. The racing was good throughout them. Everyone was able to blitz them the whole main event. That's all I'm getting at.
You're laying it out that they were better than they were, in my opinion. I'm not saying we haven't had worse. We've had a lot worse than that, but they were not.
I just like how they held up hard. The guys were able to blitz them. Guys were able to jump them. You know, jumping wasn't faster. It was a little slower, but wasn't bad. And yeah, guys were coming up with speed and blitzing them. I like that. I don't know the logistics of carrying them around in a semi-truck trailer.
Yeah, good luck. Thankfully that can't happen.
And humidifiers, because you need humidifiers or moisturizers for the dirt. I don't know.
Moisturizer? Like
just quit with the Nets, bro. Quit while you're ahead.
Okay, all right.
Can we talk about Sexton wearing his hat backwards all night? Because I think that's a thing. Like, I don't think that's taken well. So is this like reading between the lines of his status at KTM? Like this is like a conscious decision by him to do this. Like, it's not happenstance. Oh man, I forgot. Like, this is not that. This is not that.
This is Stu Monster Towel.
I don't know, man. I'm not like a mind reader, but when you do it two times in a row and it is very well known that he needs to have a hat on forwards. To me, it can't just be like, oh man, I didn't really think about it. No. My opinion is this was a conscious decision. My question is, what is the motivation or the reasoning behind it? Because it seems like it's a thing to me.
Yeah, we did talk about this like a month ago when this happened the first time. And he did a good acting job. I think it was, sadly, Steve, I think it might have been a Lewis interview where he didn't even know why Lewis was asking the question. He's like, what's the deal with the hat on backwards? He's like, what do you mean? What's the deal? He's like, what's the deal? He's like, what do you mean there's a deal? Is there a deal? Yeah, is what's the deal with the hat on backwards? And he's like, oh, my dad always says that if wearing a hat forward looks gangster, so I like to wear my hat backwards. But yes, to see it again now that my antenna was up, I thought the same thing. And Steve, when he was talking to you and us at the end of the day, he was wearing like a tracksuit, sweatshirt suit. I don't know.
You guys need your tinfoil hats out.
Oh, okay.
Tinfoil.
Okay.
I was heavy on this a month ago. I'm off it now. I think it might be nothing.
So you think both times after the heat and the main event, when you guys have both been around this sport long enough to know this is a thing, you consciously decide to wear your hat backwards so no sponsors can be read. That is, in my mind, I don't care. He can call me and tell me I'm an idiot. Not going to talk me off the ledge.
I hope he does.
Like, this was a decision.
I thought it was a Red Bull thing for sure a month ago. But now I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know, man.
I know you don't know. You're not saying anything. I'm just telling you, like, there's something going on there.
He says nothing's done, nothing is signed.
I'm not saying anything signed either, but I'm just saying there is some sort of messaging going on there. That
You have the phone number of the guy. Text the guy.
Oh, you think he's going to tell me? Yeah, man, F them. I did it on purpose.
No. I mean the Red Bull guy.
Oh, you want me to call? Yeah, like,
just be like, hey, what do you think?
Well, I don't think they're going to like put it in the ethos of like exactly what's going on, but I think for the average viewer, they may not think that that means anything, but that does mean something. Like, these sponsors pay a lot of money to have those logos on TV. And you don't think that anybody said anything and he did it two times in a row and the only times he's on the podium all night? Like, get out of here with that.
Wow. Get out of there, Weege.
If that is why he's doing it, I would advise against it, because I feel like business is business. Hey, sometimes things happen is one thing. But to me, if that is an on-purpose, like, dig, like, it gets a little dirty. And as we've seen in this industry, you never know 3, 4, or 5 years later when those same people, you want them back.
I'm not claiming to know what the motivation is. Maybe it's a motivational thing. I saw Chad Reed post that he was going to buy a different company's UTV because Honda didn't want to give him one. Like, I've seen crazy people do stuff like this, and I don't always know the motivation. I'm just telling you, that is not an accident to do that twice in a row, in my opinion.
Yeah, that I know that happens. And in the words of Weston Pike, how did that work out for you? I feel like if you keep it as like, hey, I'm a free agent, I like their bike better, they paid me more, whatever, people understand that. But I feel like these types of things are the things people remember more 3 years from now when you need their help again, which happens all the freaking time.
Yeah, and I don't want it to seem like I'm being coy and I know what's going on and I'm trying to not say it. I don't. I'm merely posing the situation and saying that seems premeditated. That's it. And wherever that goes from there, cool. But there's something up there.
Yeah, Stu covered the Monster logo with a towel. He got told not to do that back in the day when he was a Red Bull guy. But hey, so Cooper is 10 back of Roczen, and Malcolm's actually only 16 back. So chance Malcolm could jump Kenny as well. Just double checking the points here. Cooper fourth, third. Malcolm Stewart fourth. Good job for Malcolm. He rode really well. He won the heat, which is great, and really rode well. AP had another up and down race. I didn't get a chance to talk to him after the race, but looked like it was not that good early on, and then he kind of rode better as the night went on, as the main went on, I should say. And then McElrath, sick. Shane McElrath, like, no mutter, no nothing. Got a good start. Was fourth for a while, ended up sixth, hung in strong. Good job, Shane McElrath. He's doing Supercross only, and he's going to have enough SMX points at this point to make it no problem. So really nice job by Shane McElrath.
It's probably his best real race ever. He had two great results in mud in his career, fourth last year, third this year. But that's got to be his best all-arounder normal race, right?
I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah. It was great. He and AP were going at it for a long time, man. Like, AP got him, and then it was just like, not so fast. Like, he just hung in there, hung in there with him for a really long time. And, you know, for McElrath, he's been racing nonstop for, I don't know, 7 months now, you know, between Australia and World Supercross and this. So he's probably due for a little break before we get back to SMX playoffs.
Yeah, he's actually only six back of Barcia for seventh overall with one round
That's
to
good.
Go. So
really
like he's got to jump Dylan and Hill, but he could ended up seventh overall. It's pretty good showing for the quad lock guys.
All of them are piled up behind Barcia right now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Dylan's at 182, Justin's at 180, Shane's at 179. So Shane sixth, Dylan Ferrandis seventh. Dylan again was good in the whoops and charging hard. And Joey Savacci eighth. Joey had to go to the LCQ. He said he could have slammed Nichols in the heat, he felt like, but then like he was like, what for? Maybe, you know, maybe it's just one gate pick and then maybe I go down or he goes down or whatever. So he won the LCQ and then he got a garbage start. He put it on his social media. He was so far back. And then he ripped through like Benny, Hill, Craig, Wilson, Oldenburg, pretty good. So both quad lock guys. I mean, Joey's a glass half empty guy. We know this. So he wasn't exactly like doing backflips after the race, but it was a good ride by him. And I tried to tell him that, but he wasn't really having it. So
shout out to Joey's uncle for giving me an Uber ride the other day in Boise. Most awkward, randomest thing I've ever encountered in my life was my Uber driver happened to be Joey Savacci's uncle. So there's that.
What?
Yes.
Yep. In Boise, take him to the airport at 4:30 in the morning. Joey Savacci's uncle, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that is. That has to be the most random thing in your life. That will never be topped.
It's unbelievable.
Oldenburg ninth. Oldenburg ran fifth for a long time, fifth or sixth. He qualified sixth. He rode well in the heat. He said he finally figured out some starts on the bike. He said it's a lot. He said everything he learned how to do starts on a Honda is opposite on a Beta. And I don't know what that means because, like, as far as I know, you let the clutch out and you give it gas. So does that mean he's, you know, pulling the clutch in and turning the throttle off? I don't know. He said everything's opposite. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he meant by that, but he rode really well. But then he admitted that the altitude got to him. And yeah, so he dropped back a little bit from there.
But also, he's not aware. He's a whoop jumper. He's not a whoop guy.
He's not a whoop guy.
I did not know this until today.
Yeah,
listen to your interviews, him and Benny.
Yeah, Benny said that you will be jumping these whoops, and then Mitchell said, no way, not tonight. I will be skimming these whoops all the time. And then Benny said he looked up and Oldenburg early on was jumping and he was like, oh yeah, I got you now. But he didn't get him. But
now look, he crashed out all the time, but the early Freckle days, this could have been 12 years ago. He was insane fast on the whoops. It would only work like four times.
Yeah.
So is that why?
That's a good question, man.
I remember him being great in whoops.
Oh, Privateer Yamaha 250F?
Yeah.
Yeah. Crushing whoops. Right. Good point, Weege.
Yeah,
I don't know. Everything's opposite on the Beta. Everything's opposite on the Beta. Yeah, everything's opposite. So I don't know. Dean got 10th, rode really well. I thought Dean's been good. I asked him about the start again. He said he had a good one going, but then he clipped a tough block or something. And he said it got to him. The altitude got to him also, and he was pretty damn tired after the race. So. But he was in a battle with Oldenburg and Craig and Joey, because Joey ripped through those guys a little bit. So there was that going on.
I was happy to at least see Craig battling Dean. That's better for Craig, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So Craig has been MIA after the races because he's been sucking. I told him on press day, I'm like, look, man, I know this is bad, but you got to talk to the media. You got to tell us what's up. And he's like, he goes, well, I'm out of there as soon as the race ends. I'm out of there. And I said, not this weekend. Not this weekend. I will be there. And he qualified well. Like, I think he was – wasn't he on the board for a little bit in the first qualifying session? I think he was. I think he was fifth or fourth for a little bit. It didn't stay there, but he qualified better. Yeah, there was a moment. And then I texted him during the main while he was out on the track and said, I will see you at your truck. I'll be right there. And sure enough, that's exactly where I went. And then I sent a photo of me waiting outside his truck to him and said, you are not escaping. And then sure enough, he did. He came out. He came out. We did an interview. He felt better. The dirt helped him. The hard pack dirt helped him. He said, it's not been good. But like, I did hear from people this week that he was all over Webb when they were practicing, like on Tuesday or Wednesday. He was right behind Webb for 17 laps or 17 minutes or something. So he said during the week it's going well, but then he's not bringing it to the races. And I don't think he's super stoked with an 11th, but as you said, Weege, battling Dean is better than where he's been.
Yeah, so I was stoked for him on that, but I did hear that same story that I think he was faster than Webb for the first 17 minutes of a 20-minute moto. It's mind-boggling.
Oh, he told me he hung with Webb. He told me he hung with Webb for 17, but whatever, yeah.
Either way, then he gets lapped essentially on the weekend, and – JT, you live this. You saw this, I'm sure, all the time during the week, the Tuesday moto and the Saturday not aligning at all. But I think fans listening to this will never – there's 1,000 of these examples, but it will never compute. It just seems impossible. But, JT, it's probably fairly normal. You've seen this a million times, right?
Yeah, and I think in this case, it's more Cooper Webb stepping up on Saturdays versus – Christian Craig getting worse on Saturdays. That's my interpretation because I've seen it too many times. I saw it with Tim Ferry. I saw when the competition level goes higher, they raise their game, like they step up on Saturdays, and that's where the separation comes in. So it doesn't shock me that those two are really close on a Wednesday. It's I don't know why. I don't know, you know, again, we could theorize why this goes on, but it's, yeah, this happens more than most people would think.
Are you saying Timmy didn't step up his game?
No, I'm saying he did.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't know which.
It's like on a Wednesday. Bucket.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, he wouldn't be that much better than me. And then on Saturday, I couldn't see him.
I didn't know which bucket you put him in. It confused me for a second, but thank you. Okay.
Calm down.
I will say I did think Christian was lit kit this weekend. I really like that stuff. JT can't comment on it a little bit, but it gave me serious Honda or Yamaha Troy vibes. So I thought it would look pretty good that way. Yamaha. What?
It did look like Yamaha Troy.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I kind of like. So yeah, Craig 11th. There's something there. Not doing outdoors. Kind of was hoping to do outdoors. Thought he would be able to do outdoors, but with the season he's having, not doing outdoors. But if there's an injury, he can step in.
Interesting.
Do you guys think if Webb wins this thing, he grinds out 11 outdoors?
Oh boy!
If he's 100% healthy, yes. If he's not, then I could see him not. How's that?
Weege.
Man, it's situational. I feel like 2 years ago, he wasn't even supposed to race the Nationals. He whooped together a deal with KTM because I think he saw everybody got hurt at Denver and Nashville and thought, hey, there's only two other really fast guys. I'm an injury or two away from winning this whole thing. That is the exact opposite this year. So it makes me fear. You're like, oh, I got Hunter, Jet, Tomac, Prado, et cetera, et cetera. Makes me wonder.
Yeah.
I think he wants to race Motocross the Nations also, so... there's that consideration. Not that he's going to make his whole decision around that, but I do think he wants to do that again.
Justin Hill, 12th. I found him after the race. I don't know, man. I don't know what he made some. He had momentum early in the year, which we can all agree on was exactly correct. He was riding really well. He went back home, and he's doing too much tractor work. And it's taking him away from practicing. Weege, something. Weege, can you help with this interview?
I had a similar interview with him on Friday at Press Day, again on the Weege Show. Maybe okay. The Weege Show is what won the award. I don't know. But, yeah, I couldn't pick up what he was laying down. He has reasons why he's gotten worse, but I couldn't interpret what they were. It might be as simple as, was it as simple as I was doing everything in Southern California and then I went back to Oregon? Is it really that simple? And he gave a very complex answer to a very simple thing.
Well, and I was thinking, like, was it the weather? I think I said, was it weather? And he said, no. And then at some point,
he mentioned that he was doing all his work down south and then he moved back up north. And I'm like, is that one sentence could just sum this all up? I don't know.
I was thinking, like, are you partying and drinking? Is that the problem here? Because you're saying distractions and other things are keeping, I don't know. I'm not, I was so, yeah. I mean,
I would not be putting that out there. I think you need more, better sourcing if you're going to say that.
No, I don't think it was that. No. But I'm in my mind, I'm like, what? He kept saying distractions. And like, I'm like, well, what kind of distractions? And all I got out of him was maintaining the track was a distraction. It's
a lot of work.
He's a nice guy. He's an awesome guy. But I did not get to the bottom of anything at all in that interview.
No. There is no way. Dude, his best result of the year at Glendale when pretty much every single guy was still racing? The results are somehow worse after Anderson, the Lawrences, Tomac, Barcia.
Yeah.
They're all gone and his results are worse.
I don't know, man. I might just play that interview tomorrow for the I don't know, man segment on my show because it was bizarre, but I hope he figures it out. He's got one more to go.
Yeah.
Benny Bloss, 13th. JT, he was third for a little bit. He was third.
He got a start. It was unbelievable. He never gets a start.
No.
Where did he end up?
13th.
Oh, what happened?
Nothing.
Okay.
And so I went to the beta truck to interview Oldenburg, and I didn't think Benny would want to do an interview because that was not good. And, dude, he was stoked. Because he got the start. And he, So what I got out of it was I got a start. I'm so happy. I finally got a start. And also he's 8% less scared of Jeff than he was before. He said he's less scared of Jeff now. I don't know. Did I miss anything?
No, it was great. He said, JT, on a scale of 1 to 100 of being scared of Jeff's going to be mad that he went from 3rd to 13th, on a scale of 1 to 100, now he's only 92% scared of his dad. So he's making progress. What do you say? I'm 29 years old. I'm becoming a man.
Yep, finally. So, because I was like, dude, that wasn't good. Like, how, what, you know? And honestly, he was upbeat. He was not having it. Yeah.
But I think Oldenburg has locked this down, Steve.
Yep. Number one rider. Number one beta rider. I said to him a couple weeks ago, I said, how's it feel, man? And he's like, what are you talking about? I go, Oldenburg's contract's double yours. And Carlin Gardner was like, dude, don't do that. Dude, don't.
Oh, my God.
Poor Benny.
Horrible.
Nichols 14th, he said the Mile High City got to him on social media. I didn't talk to him after the race. Freddie 15th. Chiz 16th. Moran 17th. Cade, Tristan Lane, Jeremy Hand, Starling Hicks. No hate comms. Michael Hicks making the main and getting last was the most predictable thing in the world. If I could have bet that, I can't bet because I'm in the media, but if I could have laid any odds on that Michael Hicks at Mile High on a 450 would make the main and then not finish last, I would throw my house payment on it. JT?
I was looking at the results on the big screen, and it scrolled through in 20 seconds. I was like, oh, yeah, look at that. I already knew it was coming. I knew it was coming.
Like, we talked about him in Pulp Fantasy Podcast. I'm like, okay, he's a handicap 16, but I said on the show, what's 20-second pay for his handicap? Like, that's how sure I was that Michael Hicks did not have 20 minutes in him on a 450. I mean, hey, look, he's a great rider. He's not in shape, and yeah. So, we'll talk about the LCQ race later because that's a little Chiz and Moran's stuff. Anything else 450 wise?
On a Salt Lake.
So does Coop get second, or does he literally get fourth in Salt Lake? Like Jet, like last year. Does he just really back it down?
I think it's what he said on the podium. It's situational. You know, like if he's in second, can hold second, he stays second. And if he can't, and he's got to really take risks to do better than fourth, then he gets fourth. Like that's the upside of the position he's in, is he doesn't have to force things if it's not going real well. And then you have Kenny's out, you know, like, and so Justin Cooper will have his back if needed. If Justin Cooper is second and they need him to drop back, guess what's going to happen? Justin Cooper's going to drop back. So there are only a few guys, if Cooper Webb is healthy and riding the way he knows how to, that can beat him for 21 minutes. There are only a few. And Sexton's going to need all of them and more, and it's a very unlikely scenario that this is going to happen.
Yeah, and to that end, man, Aaron Plessinger is going to be praying every night that he doesn't end up in a situation, because he is Sexton's teammate, but he does not want to hurt Coop in any way, shape, or form. They are bros. Yeah. So I'm sure he's just praying that he does not have to, for some reason, become a factor in this. I mean, honestly, I don't think these guys want to be.
If Webb's healthy and he crashes on the start, he can still get back there. Like, that's the tough part. In this field, depleted, that's what Sexton's up against. You need not only a big problem, you need, like, catastrophe where he can't fight back through the field. It is such an uphill slog.
Like tearing your Achilles.
Well, yeah, I mean, it just your bike break, right? Like you crash the first turn, your clutch lever's broken off.
Yeah.
You need something like that dramatic.
No, listen, and we've seen it. Like at AC, Vegas, Tomac injury, like it has happened, man. Colorado Motti broke his leg in 84, 125 GPs. He had like a 21-point lead.
Who could forget?
Wow.
No one.
Yeah. I will say on this very pod, just eight years ago, after Tomac really kind of blew it at the New Jersey race. Steve, you were saying, like, there's no way that Dungey doesn't get this done. I can't see all of a sudden we got Reed and Anderson and Baggett and Josh Grant and these guys are going to get in there. We did not know about the bunching strategy. And with the bunching strategy unleashed, those are the exact guys. Josh Grant, Chad Reed. They were not battling Tomac and Dungey at any point.
Anderson.
All
Anderson.
All of a sudden, these guys. So is there, what I'm getting at is, any chance of bunching this weekend by Chase?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're missing the Honey Badgers. Barsha and Anderson are DGAF. They could, I mean, they've been off the pace this year. Both of them are out. If they were in, then anything could happen because those two guys do not care. But they're gone. So Justin Cooper's teammate.
Let's not forget that Anderson in that bunching race, he hooked up Dungy just like Justin Cooper just hooked up Webb. I mean, he took Reed out to save Dungy from losing positions. He took him out, sacrificed his own race.
Yeah.
So you're right.
No, for sure. All right, that's the 450 class for Denver on to Salt Lake. Thanks to the folks at Fly Racing, flyracing.com. Use code PULPMX when you check out, and we'd appreciate that. You can save on anything and everything from Fly Racing. I've got some off-road patrol gear from Fly Racing. If you're an off-road guy, it's really good stuff. I don't have the newer stuff, but the old stuff, probably the new stuff too, has pockets for your cell phone. It fits great, goes over the boot. Really good off-road stuff for sure. So thanks to the folks at Fly Racing. Also, thank you to folks at Renthal, of course, Max's Tires, Fast Freddy Noren, Cade Clayson, Hunter Yoder, all putting their Max's Tires into the main event. And Weege, Friday, Max's Tires is helping our buddy Jericho perhaps live a dream, live a lifelong dream.
It would be better than if his rider, Freddy Noren, won the main at Salt Lake. That would not be as good as what Jericho is about to get hooked up with, because he is going to be a shadow pit crew member of Stone Cold Steve Austin's side-by-side crew?
Yes, it sounds like this is happening. And for if you know Jericho, this is his accumulation of his lifetime work right here.
Oh.
Right here.
He loves Stone Cold way more than Freddie Norton. Way more.
Yeah. Even more than Mikhailov. He loves Evgeny Mikhailov, Krayer Meets.
Oh, really?
He loved that guy, and he still loves him. He ranks him as number one rider.
That's about as random as the Corrado Maddie GP poll right there.
He loved Krayer Meat guy, Russian. And anyways, he loves Stone Cold more than that guy. But Stone Cold uses Maxxis UTV tires. Thank you to Maxxis Tires. Great mountain bike tires as well. Maxxis.com. Really appreciate those guys coming on. And also, if I'm ever going to get that award for Media Member of the Year, I got to put my work boots on. And I got to get to work. So I got to get some Brunt work boots and get busy doing that. PulpMX is the code to save with Brunt work boots. You know who had them on this weekend on track walk, Weege?
Oh, I saw them. And honestly, I didn't even know those were the boots. It actually stuck out. I was like, this dude is looking unusually good.
So I don't work with work boots, JT. I don't know if that comes as a shock to you. Yeah. But there was a man I know who does work with wood. And is a working man with the cornhole boards. And so I got Aaron Hansel from
Racer X. Renovated a kitchen and a bathroom, JT. Maybe you've heard about his bathroom renovations through the years.
He does stuff. Right. He does real stuff. And so I got him a pair of Brunt work boots, and he loves them. And he wore them on track walk. And he wore them in the press box because he's Hansel.
They look good. This is Aaron Hansel. He looked good.
I've heard the cornhole board wood prices have really skyrocketed.
Yes, poor Aaron Hansel. The only place he can source the proper wood to build a cornhole set is Russia. So every time something happens in Russia, he once showed a picture of his pickup with plywood in the back, and he said, "Guess how much this costs?" And it had gone from like $700 to like $8,000 worth of plywood like overnight. Yeah.
Well, listen, Hansel. Brunt isn't
if you're
just
over at the Lawrence
boots?
VIP okay. area, the cornhole boards, if you've been to the Lawrence VIP area, they are made by Aaron Hansel. That's why he needs the boots.
So PulpMX code saves with Brunt work boots. They don't just make durable work boots. They reinvented comfort for the hardest workers out there. Not me, but guys like Hansel. And they're not just about work boots. They offer a full range of high-performance gear built for tough jobs. Again, not me, but Hansel. PulpMX code saves you with Brunt. Thank you to those guys, and use that code to save. Thank you. Appreciate it. Good work boots. I've heard this on social media. People are stoked on these things. So maybe I need to get a pair and, get busy maybe digging a hole or something. Weege, Onyx Maps?
Same old, same old. Hundreds of thousands of miles of trails mapped out, public and private land. As I mentioned, it's especially if you live like where Steve does, actually where JT does, if you're in the mountain time zone, where we're in Denver, where we'll be in Salt Lake, there's just so much land out there. And I know people are going to say, yeah, but that's like public land and we know that. No, there's land that you don't know about, private land that can link that together to create even better trails. And there's notes on how to access it, when it's open, even how long you'd go between gas stops if you're a adventure bike rider or a mountain biker. You don't need to worry about the gas tank. But anyway, it's way more detailed than using Google Maps. So go to onxmaps.com or OnX Offroad in the App Store. Take a free trial or type in RacerX, all one word, all lowercase, to get a discount if you want to subscribe. It's better than Google Maps, people.
Thanks to Fly Racing. Of course, Fly Racing RacerX pods. Weeds JT. All right, on to 250 class. If you don't like this pod, you guys can suck it. Go ahead. I don't know. You guys, go ahead.
No, you go. You go. We want to hear it from you.
No. There's nothing wrong with that pass. There was nothing wrong with that pass. All the Deegan haters, calm down. Davies got tired. Lappers got in his way. It reminded me a lot of the Cody Shock move at Birmingham last year. Deegs got on the inside of him, muscled into him. Now, ironic that he also sent him over that berm in practice. I guess he didn't send him over, but he also kind of collided with him in practice on that. We knew this was coming. Davies had gotten some momentum, and Deegs ain't going to let that happen. It's just not going to work. And so that's probably why they ride opposite coasts next year, and it's probably why they develop a rivalry. And Deegs went WWF again because he can't help that. And here we are. And then I guess he got called in the AMA truck for Weech for telling the fans to suck it on the PA.
Suck it is a little bit over the line. Only from the literal standpoint of what if someone actually asked, like, what is, why is that the term, you know? Like, if you just take it as like, I never really think that deeply into what it actually is supposed to mean, we're fine. But if anyone were to ask and they were like 8 years old, you might have a problem. And I did briefly talk to Brian Deegan after, and he did admit, he even said, yeah, we are a little WWF. He's like, that probably was, we're going to say crazy stuff. I don't know where the line is. Maybe we shouldn't have said that one. But they also did want to discuss the block pass. And just like you, I was like, there's no reason to discuss it. It was not a T-bone. They were going the same direction. And honestly, I think 9 times out of 10, Davies maybe goes down, but he doesn't get stuck and lose positions like that most of the time. That was a nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I would have more of a problem with the one in practice, JT, where it's like, hey, man, maybe calm down a little bit, you know, like on your teammate. Can we calm down? But yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, man, the podium stuff, like, it's not my style. I don't think there's a lot to be gained by that take. But the pass itself, I mean, the last lap, like, he kind of like side by side body checked him. Like, it wasn't that dirty, in my opinion, like at all. And Steve, you can vouch for this. I don't like dirty riding. Like, I've been on the other side of this conversation so many times saying I hate stuff like this.
You, in my opinion, you go too far over and, that and with I not know, liking it. Yeah.
I know you don't like it. I'm not backing away from my take, but I'm saying on this particular instance, really nothing here. The one thing I would say, and people really may not like this, is I would say in both instances, in practice and in the race, Davies, you have to check up there. You don't have position. You don't have leverage in the corner. You're on the outside, and Deegan's going to run you to the tough blocks if you don't check up. You have to know this. So is it Davies' fault? No, not all the way, but you have to understand the dynamics of that corner. You cannot press the outside in that corner. You're going to end up on the ground. And I watched him do it in qualifying practice, and I watched him do it in the race, and we all hate it for Davies. It sucked. He rode so great, and for him to get fifth or whatever he got is a huge bummer. But in the moment, when I really break down the move, I put some of the blame, I would say even more of the blame, on Davies. And he took the blame himself. He's like, I can't put myself in that position. You can't press the outside in that corner because there is nowhere to go. There's really no room left in that corner to go. And I mean, he'll learn from it. He's not going to put himself in that spot again.
I thought Davies handled it really good. The all the post race stuff.
He didn't dig in on it. Now look, Here's the thing. I know that JT, you don't like that podium stuff per se. Whatever. I don't really have hard opinions on these things. I never do. Everybody has an opinion. I'm not the morals police. You can decide if the pass is clean or dirty, or if you like the podium stuff or not. What I will say though, and I said this to Brian, I said this to you over there, Steve, after the race, I am impressed that, like it or not, they have managed to Deegan everything. It's one thing to create Metal Militia as a semi sort of not even real thing in freestyle. It's just a marketing image and your own vlog. It's a marketing image. You can mold things. The fact that they have somehow managed to take real things that are happening in a real competition in front of real people and have that exact same feel to it, that he ends up winning the title by knocking his teammate down with two laps to go. The teammate who, oh man, he's getting momentum. Is he better than Deegs at Supercross? Is Deegs going to send him a message? Is Deegs going to start a rivalry? And that it is executed that well. I mean, you couldn't have scripted it better if this is your goal. So I just admire whether you like the lane they want or not, the way that they're always able to find that lane is astonishing. Like, no one else has ever done it this well of playing the same. And it always works in their favor, by the way. It always works. Like, he has a birthday cake or something that says, Hymus is cooked. Then the next week, Hymus is riding out of his mind fast at Unadilla and says, I'm just here to cook. And then what happens to Hymus? All alone out front, gone. Stacks it up. And Hymus has not shown that since. Kitchen has not fired back. VL has not fired back. Juju has not fired back. It's amazing that it keeps working. So whether you like it or not, they keep winning if that's the style they want. And it is the style they want.
I want so badly for Hayden to move to the 450 class and say these things and do these things and watch that. So badly for the entertainment value.
Sure.
Oh, I want it so badly because I could be wrong. I'm wrong a lot. I don't think it's going to go like this. I do not think.
No, not with those guys.
It will go like this.
No, not with those guys. I will say, I would not rule out Brian being such an entertainer. They told me after the race, the crowd, I was surprised actually how bad Deegan got booed when they showed the replay.
Yeah, it was like 50-50.
Yes.
Like 50% boos and 50% cheers.
Because
when he was catching Davies. What's that?
The first time he got booed really bad.
It was weird. In the race when he's catching Davies, the crowd's going nuts for him. But then the block pass, were those fans silent and then booed after? I don't know. They were booing so loudly. But Brian even said, they don't care. Like, the fact that it's 50% love them and 50% hate them, they think that's awesome because that's going to just bring more interest and more,
yeah, it's more engagement.
People are going to, right.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't rule out, JT, to your point, he might even know if Hayden gets tuned up by Justin Barcia 2 years from now, even though it doesn't work out good for Hayden, it's just awesome anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think right now on a racing only, I'm not talking about his social media, his value, any of those things, which Brian is thinking about. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about specifically on the racetrack. Right now, there have not been any consequences. Like,
nope.
Zero. If you do this in the 450 class and you say the things that he likes to say, I believe there will be significant consequences because a guy like Jason Anderson or a guy like Justin Barcia will show up and say, hey guys, sorry, the result's not going to be very good this weekend because I got to teach somebody a lesson. And I'm probably going to end up on the ground doing it, but that's how it's going to go.
I cannot believe you forgot the one man who taught Deegs a lesson. I can't believe it. You guys are both forgetting about it.
Deegs.
Joe Shimoda. Joe. Joe did it. Joe struck
it
back.
I mean, did he really, though?
Like, no. I'm kidding. I'm joking. But Joe.
He tried.
Joe's the hero that the 250 class didn't know they needed.
But I'm saying real consequences. Like he,
of
will,
course,
like,
yeah,
yeah. Those guys are not going to take this, and I'm still shocked. Like, good for Deegs because he's getting away with doing whatever he wants. Well, you know what I mean. Like, I'm very surprised that no one has just been like, you know what, I've had enough. Like, I've reached a breaking point, and I've had enough. But I mean, good for him. So, it's working. It's hard to argue the strategy because it's working.
I don't think I'm betraying any confidence here, but I talked to Mitch Payton about this after the race for a while, and I love Mitch. I respect him so much. And Mitch is like, part of the problem is that team. They're not doing anything to stop this. He said when Dean Wilson and Blake Baggett were mother effing each other after Paula and they were going to kill each other, right to my lounge and right to the both of them. You don't ever act like that to your another teammate. You don't ever do that to your teammate. If you guys do that, you will not race the next moto. You will not race for me. Like, Mitch is just like, you don't do that to your teammate. You just, there's lines to be drawn. And you know what? And we know from Cooper Webb on the Pulp Show, from 800 other stories, that Star Racing is pitting these riders against each other in the name of competition to get better and better and better. So Star's not doing anything, especially not to the Deegan cash cow that's bringing them things. But Mitch's point was, not to a teammate. But I didn't think the pass was that bad. But I just think all of it, right?
The practice stuff, everything. Yeah, the pass in a vacuum.
Yeah.
I mean, I tweeted about it, right? And I had all sorts of answers, and a lot of people said I'm an idiot and whatever. I'm not backing away from it. I would say it on TV. Like, the pass was not that bad, especially when you, like, the reaction. I think the reaction is mostly because of the way Hayden reacted. If he doesn't say the things, and he's never going to do this. This is not in his DNA, I don't think. It's not who they are. But if Hayden had went up there on the podium and said, you know what? I hate that for Cole. I was on the inside and I had to push until he stopped pushing. And unfortunately, we ran out of racetrack and he went off the track. But I would never want him to go down, especially how well he was riding. The response would be overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah,
I know. But I'm saying, like, if you're 28 years old and you've been racing and you've won championships and you're older and that's the way you look at that situation. Not so the reaction from the fans, from my opinion, was much more about Hayden's reaction to it versus the actual incident on the racetrack.
I want to throw in one more thing. Again, I don't think the pass was bad. It's fine. Even to win a race, it's fine. The against the teammate thing, I think Mitch Payton does have a good point there, but that's up to that team and they clearly don't care. I will say, like, Seven Deuce Deuce grabs me while I'm shooting Weed Show and he's like, that was a pass for a $500,000 title. And I'm like, well, it turned out that way. But that was not Deeg's intention. Yeah. There's no way he thought, if I do this, Davies is going to get fifth and I'm going to win the title. He didn't want Davies to win three races in a row. He didn't want him to beat him straight up. He didn't want to, I can't catch this kid. That was about that. The title just fell into his lap. That was not executed to win the title.
That was not I'm going to win the title if I make this move. Like, I saw so many 2017 comparisons with Savatgy and Osborne. I'm like, this is so far from that. Like, it's not even the same conversation as that.
No, he didn't want Davies to get the momentum. And he's same thing with Bomer, same thing with Hymus, same thing with Kitchen, same thing with Vial.
This was very much, well, for one, he wanted to win. You know, like, there's that. He wanted to win the damn race. That is a huge part of this, right? And second is, I'm the guy, you're not. That's a huge part of it, too. Those two things are all that mattered. The championship, clinching the championship, in my mind, was not in the motivating factor of that pass.
He rode great. If he just makes a normal pass on Davies, just sneaks inside of him, he rode great. That was a great race.
I think it was a normal pass. I do not think
I'm saying, like, just... If Davies doesn't get knocked off the track and just gets second, that's a great race, and no one's talking about it. Everyone's just saying that's a great race.
Yeah, and Davies getting stuck like he did in the tough block.
Yeah.
7 times out of 10, he just finishes second and third.
Yeah.
That was just the way it worked out. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but yeah, the podium stuff for me, I'm out. I'm so out on the podium stuff. I might be back in. Like, I'm out, and I circled around the earth, and I might be closer to
the lucky dog.
I might be closer to being back in because I'm so out of it. And honestly, it's the current president. I'm not bringing it, but WWE-ing of our world. These things that you say that are just outrageous. It's affecting. It's just leaking into our world. It's leaking into our athletics. It's leaking into our politics. It's like, the more shit you say that's crazy to get views, to get attention, to get headlines, is getting more and more accepted. And the days of Barry Sanders scoring a touchdown and going up to the ref and handing him the ball, those are long gone. Long gone. We now have receivers that catch a 10-yard out on a game they're trailing 48-14 at, and they celebrate like they just won the Super Bowl. And this is 2025, and I'm an old man yelling at the clouds, but I don't like it. But we're here.
Selfishly, I loved it because that clip is going to be played everywhere. And I asked the question leading up to it. So I was like, hell yeah, this is about as close to viral as I may ever get. This is awesome.
But listen, on the backside, Davies handled it really well. We saw some real emotion from him. He's going to have a great future in the sport. Should have got second. Probably should have won. Definitely should have got second again. And so great ride by Davies, really coming into his own. And I think, like, our 2026 Racer X Supercross preview show, I will be picking Cole Davies for the championship.
He made a lot of fans. He made a lot of fans on Saturday night. I'll say that.
March Banks third. He didn't know he was third. He rode really well, good all day. He was leading the heat and went down. That track was overwatered, right? We're all in agreement on that. That first heat.
It was so hard and dry, though. They didn't have a choice. Like it, they, so I'm not criticizing SMX track crew. They have done, they've worked miracles for years now. This particular scenario in the afternoon, the track got away from them. It got really hard and really slippery, but the air is so dry. We're at elevation. The sun was crazy. It's probably the hottest day of the year in Denver so far, but it got hard and slick. So they had to water the hell out of it in between the last qualifying session and the night show. And that's where the mud came in.
But it was,
I don't think they had a choice, really. It was so damn dusty before that when I was down on the floor. It was unbelievable.
So Marchbanks rode really well, got a podium. Julian Beaumaire-Weege, he was actually silently really good all day. He got a garbage start. Otherwise, I think he would have been in the Davies-Deegan mix because he was really good. Back on hard pack, and Julian rode well.
Sorry, it's getting loud behind me here.
Yeah.
That's an orange motorcycle, but not the KTM variety going by. He was good. I don't think it was silent. Like, he dominated qualifying. He dominated it. He's very sensitive to that hard soil, soft soil thing. He really pushes back against that, although the results are kind of making it a little hard to not think that's the thing. But isn't it interesting, in the main, wasn't it 1-2-3 star Yamahas? And then I think Wageman was also fourth.
Yep. Yeah.
So he did get the heat race start wasn't good. Then he fell. So then he had a bad gate pick for the main also. But yeah, blue crew. I mean, you're blue crew guy, Steve. This is Yamaha. Yeah. We had 1-2-3-4 YZ250Fs at a mile high off the start in the main.
We like elevation at Blue Crew because our bikes are so fast.
Yeah. So my point is, it was a garbage start. The heat race didn't help, but I don't know. He might have been trying to catch those guys.
Yep.
Anyway.
Jordan Smith got fourth. At one point, Jordan had no visor and his airbag was deployed. And so if you just want to pick it up from there, anybody, this was
peak heat race, Jordan no visor Smith. Either. Heat race, no visor either.
No, I think it was a heat I'm talking about. A deployed.
Oh, okay.
He came back to qualify. He rode really well, but
yes.
Yeah, no visor and an airbag deployed. And we're like, yep, welcome back, Jordan. Great to have you back.
So how he got fourth. I wish we could bring helmet cams back. Because I didn't.
But I was wondering. Wondering this before Seattle. He flew to Colorado and had to get scans run to see if he could race. We talked to Dr. McGinley about all this stuff during the week, and I was wondering if there's like a Jordan curve where like he looks pretty good, but we know he's going to hit the ground again soon and violently, so we have to make sure that it's like even further good. You know what I mean? Is there like a scale that you rate against versus the normal? Because man, he's terrifying to watch. Terrifying. Like, between Jordan, this is extreme, Hardy. But there are a few guys where if you watch, you're like, this is the hardest sport that's ever been invented in the world. And
RJ,
then you watch like
RJ.
Watch Chase and you're like, is it though? Is it? Because you can't really tell.
RJ, right? RJ?
RJ would be in there. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Cole Davies fifth. Cody Shock sixth. Mosman was up there for a while. Mosman was like third for a while, and I think he went down somewhere. Drew Adams eighth. Good job for Drew. He was back for the first time since his crash in wherever that was. Was it during the week or was it at a race?
Glendale.
Yeah, that's
Glendale
right.
Practice.
Practice, right. Yeah. So, I asked Mitch about Garrett Marchbanks and Drew Adams, and if there was a fight in the 250 class, would they beat the shit out of all the other riders? And he said I think he would, and I agree. Those guys are big. They're big guys. I didn't realize, like...
I would take Marchbanks.
You would take who?
Marchbanks? So that's
Yeah, Marchbanks and Adams together.
Yeah, I would take Marchbanks against everybody.
Okay.
I swear Drew's bigger than he was at Glendale 3 months ago.
I agree.
He's like growing before our eyes.
I agree.
Drew is he's a man child. Like, he's really young. Like, Marchbanks is just an ogre, man. There's no way I'm fighting that dude.
JT, did you see how close it was for Enzo to make the start of the main? Like, was that close, or did he get his bike in there pretty? Yeah.
Yeah, extremely close. Like,
that's what it looked like. Right. It looked like, because he was standing down there with no bike. And so he ended up getting 10th. All right.
I do want to say on Marchbanks, just JT, to your point, there will never be Deegan words toward Marchbanks. Never.
I don't know. I honestly don't know that Deegan has had any consequences where he cares yet.
Like, okay.
I don't know. Like, sometime he will. Like, at some point, he's going to get checked for it. But I don't know that it's happening where he'd be like, yeah, whatever.
I would not.
He's
Marchbanks' pulse would not go up one. He'd be like, wait, what? Really?
Also, Deegs is pretty small. Like, you hit him, he's going. If you hit him, tune him up right, you know? But, yeah, you got to catch him first. So
I don't know. JT, you've always said, and the great buddy Antonis said the same thing. If you know what you're doing, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, you're that amount of energy and force and leverage with a motorcycle, it doesn't matter. You hit him, you know what you're doing. Buddy took people out weekly with precision. It didn't matter if he was 5'5 or not.
Yeah. All right, to wrap up this Racer X Fly Racing Denver Supercross pod, we talked about your award, Weej, also the LCQ race. I want to thank both of you for helping out with the stream. Verb guys did a good job. Kellen Brower, play-by-play. The great Justin Brayton, some guy named Phil and Weej, you guys all stepped up. JT, you did podium work. And, it was awesome because there was controversy in the race, which was also fantastic for a Pulp MX thing to have some controversy. But so after the first main, Thule, Tim McAdams, AMA guy, goes, because we stagger start them for the second main, 22-1. And there's no passing in an AMA race until you hit the white stripe at the first turn. And Thule goes, hey, do you want to let him pass before the first turn? He goes, it's your race. And I'm like, huh, yeah, let's do that. And so we told all the riders, but Moran's smartly or controversially, whatever you want to say, decided to pull his bike and like turn it to the left to jet by a bunch of guys that were bunched tire to tire. Now, that was maybe a little bit of a sketchy move, but he got him four guys right away. And so Moran's went 2-2 for the overall win. Chiz won the first one. All his money was going to Jerry. And then him, Chiz and Simonson got together. But this race had more chaos, Weej, than other years.
Yeah, and not just the start. The way it played out at the end, Hardy and another – it wasn't Simonson. I swear it was another 250F Yamaha guy.
Thury.
Maybe it's Thury. No, Thury was ahead of – on the last lap, Marsh is going for the lead, and I think –
Marsh is leading. No, Marsh is leading. Well,
yeah,
leading.
Marsh has the lead. That's right, at that point, because Starling went down. And there was a two-point gap that Moran's had. But there were two guys on Moran's on the last lap, and Hardy got a run on him in the whoops and was side-by-side with him. But then, instead, Moran's ended up passing Thury and somebody else – and actually extended the gap. But on the last lap, it was somewhat in doubt, which I feel like that's the formula that you've been looking for, and it hasn't really been like that. Even last year, Hill got whatever he went, 210, but it was like not really in doubt.
Right.
This was close to the end. Hardy almost got him, and that could have changed it all.
Really, really interesting, JT, to watch. We had, on the staggered start, we had Chiz at the back because he'd won. And then Chiz was so cautious in the opening lap before him and Simonson got together. It was costing him spots, and Hardy was not cautious at all.
Yeah, Hardy doesn't know what cautious is. But I think Chiz was okay. Like, he was going to get to an area where it would clear up and he could actually start to use his speed to make passes. I think his biggest fear was crashing, forcing it early, and then ruining it. And in the end, it happened anyway. Mm-hmm. But I don't hate his strategy early on. I just think he didn't get to the point of the race where he was going to be able to make some quick passes and really move through the field. Because let's face it, he's probably 2, 3, 4 seconds faster than a lot of those guys on the track. You just need to be able to use that speed, and then the passes are going to happen on their own.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to, we had some prop bets, and Ricky gave money for fourth, and Lee Diffie, Connor Field stepped up. We had a bunch of Weeds. You gave money, Brayton, AC, Phil. It was really good. It was a fun time to raise some money for some privateers. We're going to be over 100 grand. We'll figure it out tomorrow, Monday night before the show. But yeah, it was awesome. And then we got a shout out on the broadcast again. So that was all cool. It was fun race to do, and it works really smooth. Thanks to Harv Whipple for really being the organizer, because I'm not doing that much about it. So
it's just amazing to have two laps of racing with Van Halen's Dreams playing full
awesome
crank on the PA
yeah
system.
Yeah, thanks to Kat at Feld. She asked me what I wanted. I said Creed and Van Halen. So that we kicked it off with Creed before the first main, and we kicked it off with Van Halen before the second main. And, the Verb broadcast went pretty well.
No, they crushed it. And really, a lot of that goes to Kellen. Our old buddy Chase Stallo was the man running it behind the scenes. We go way back with Chase. Our original, when we started doing those Supercross and Motocross preview shows, Chase was the behind-the-scenes guy on that. Now he's with Verb, so he doesn't help us on the Racer X side with that anymore. But it was good to be reunited with him. But he was stressing big time and Kellen did an awesome job, and it was making Chase, I think Chase wanted to run on camera and hug him during the show. So well done, Kellen. And yeah, the show is like, the whole race, Steve, has become the perfect, it is like the professional crew behind it, but it still has the ragtag rogue feel somehow at the same time.
Yeah, and at some point, Wes just hooked up into that gib camera, whatever the hell that thing's called. The jib thing. Yeah. Yep. Wes is just like, hey, man, I hooked up into the jib thing. And I'm like, can we do that? He's like, I don't know. But so we had the use of the jib camera stuff. So that was pretty fun.
But it's pretty cool how into it everybody is. Like, I saw Bondo, our TV producer, in the morning. He's like, hey, I'm going to sneak you guys a real timing and scoring monitor up in the booth. I talked to Chase Stallo. And it's like, everybody who you don't think is involved or paying attention, everybody wants to do their little piece. At the end of the race, I see Lee Diffie in the hallway. He's like, hey, do you have Jack Chambers' number? And I'm like, why? And he's like, I owe him $400 because he got 11th place. And I'm like, okay. So like, everybody's in on it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of cool. Thanks again to Feld for letting us do it. Right. It's kind of a neat thing to do and gives back money to the privateers. So, really, really neat. And you guys talked about it on your Supercross, your dumb Supercross Insider show also. So we talked about it last week coming into it. So, I got on Race Day Live a few times to promote it. So yeah, it's all good. Feld's really getting behind the race. Mewy, I talked to Mike Mewy, who runs things at the races. And yeah, you know, it's really funny to see them, like you said, we each kind of embrace it. Everybody's just like, this is awesome. So.
Yeah, I think it's almost like a, JT, you get that vibe. Everybody's like so excited for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where everybody can get behind it. There's no downside. Everybody wants to help because they know this is for a great cause. So it's it's awesome that it happens. Yes.
Yeah. Shout out to Yamaha for the bike and Fly Racing gave up money as well and gave up a prize package. And yeah, it's really awesome to everybody get behind this. And Swisscore and Marks have been on my side, on Pulp side. They've been really a lot of help tabulating points and raffle ticket and websites and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So cool deal. All right. We're on to Salt Lake. If you guys don't like it, you can suck it. That's it. So, we're on Assault. Okay, sounds good. Well, wait. East prediction, Weege.
Ooh.
Man, I'm going Hemeker.
For some reason, nothing should tell you that it should be Hemeker just because of the championship experience, but I just feel like he's handled everything so well and he's ridden so well. I can see it.
JT? JT's going to go RJ. Yep.
Give me RJ. Yep. I've been on the Hemeker. He's ridden the best. I do think he has ridden the best of all of the three. But I think RJ's experience in this spot last year is going to shine through.
All right. Sounds good. Well, listen, everybody, thanks for watching and listening. The Fly Racing RacerX preview from a RacerX review, I should say. And we'll see you guys next week. JT, Weege, thanks, boys.
See ya.
Later.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Motorsport.com, Renthal, and on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners. Don't change me.